praise his holy name. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Jesus, Jesus, how I love thee. Shout hallelujah, praise his holy name. Sing till the power of the Lord come down. Shout hallelujah, praise his holy name. Sing till the power of the Lord come down. Shout hallelujah, praise his holy name.
Forgiveness is. Forgiveness is sending flowers with a card of congratulations to one who has come through suffering, yourself. Forgiveness is taking the stone that broke the blade of the plow and transferring it to the center of your garden. Forgiveness is digging a hole into cracked and thirsty earth and not just pouring in water, but planting a tree. Forgiveness is emptying the goblet into which you poured the poison and placing it, clean and shining, on the farthest shelf. Forgiveness is shaking loose the pinched, cracked skin you have been living in and leaving it behind for the crows. Forgiveness is tearing into two the curtain that enclosed your heart, hurting and letting in the dusty light to bathe the wound. Forgiveness is removing the pins from the wings of two dead butterflies and watching both those butterflies fly away free.
They're found in your bulletin insert, Majesty and the Steadfast Love. Please stand to sing with us.
Kingdom of glory.
Good morning. It's pretty loud this morning up here, so. Are there any guests in our midst that would like to be introduced? Gary?
We're very happy to have our friends John and Annie Kate here. We're going to hear John a little later on. They brought their part of their band along. We are Andrea and Ron and Matthew, three of their children. So welcome.
Welcome. It's from El Salvador. Welcome to our service. Anyone else? Well, then I'm going to get Rob to come up here for a minute. And he has an introduction for us.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is loud up here. On behalf of council and the congregation, I would like to warmly welcome Pastor Franz Wiebe as our new part-time lead pastor. Franz brings with him a rich history of serving the church, most recently as leading minister at First Mennonite Church for 22 years. Franz also brings with him new ideas, enthusiasm, and a wonderful, cheerful attitude. Er kann auch gut Deutsch sprechen. I'm not going to read his bio and all that. I think for those who don't know, it's already available at the back of the church, so feel free to take a look at that. I just wanted to say we are happy to have him join us here at North Kildare Mennonite Church. Over the past number of weeks, I've gotten to know Franz a little bit, and I understand in his part-time retirement, he is also an avid gardener, and I know he would welcome any discussion on how to grow a better tomato. I have already enjoyed some of the excellent vegetables from his garden. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Franz Wiebe.
Thank you for the welcome. I noticed when I first came here in the summer for a sermon that your church basic verse comes from 1 Corinthians 3:11. And, you know, in my childhood church where I grew up in Paraguay, we had that very same scripture passage on the front of the church. Of course, it wasn't German there. And it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, for me, that means the foundation has been laid, and what we do as a church, and that's how I view church, both here in North America and in South America and in Europe. Those are the places where I have experienced church, is that we continue to build on that foundation, right? The foundation is laid. And everyone, and I'm sure there are quite a few people who know something about construction. Everyone who has done construction, build a house, or even just a garage or a shed, knows foundation is important. Somebody just told me it's a joke that some people didn't measure, and then it's somewhat out of line, out of sync, and the garage is still standing 30 years later. So the foundation was good, even if the walls weren't straight. Sometimes in churches we build walls, they are not quite straight. We make mistakes. We didn't measure often enough. We didn't consider enough. What that means is all we do is build up and we assist each other. And I see my calling and my job as being part of that construction crew. We build together, and we want to build this church. We will make mistakes, no doubt about it. But if you're gracious about it, we shall complete the building, and that's our calling. So, for you to get to know me a little bit better and have a time to meet, There are times given here that I will try to be in the office open for visits. I don't want to use that time for working hard. I want to use that time for meeting people. Okay? So you're invited to join me. Thank you.
Thanks. Are there any other guests? Okay, I'll call the children forward for a children's story. And then they'll go back to their parents again after that. There is no Sunday school today.
Good morning. I'm the only show in town today. You can sit. Hi, Jacob. Okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this because I have only one hand. Do you guys see all these things that I have in my hand? Well, that's okay. What are they? It's just pencils. I know there's a red one in there, but it's a pencil. And what do you notice, Rhea, I'll ask you, what do you notice about the ends? They don't have erasers anymore. And I'm really kind of sad about this pencil. It's quite long still, and no eraser. The eraser fell off. This one's sort of long, but the eraser's a long time gone. What do you think that means when I use a pencil? What do? A lot. I make a lot of mistakes. These are my crossword pencils. I make lots of mistakes. Erasers erase mistakes. Who do you think is the big eraser of mistakes in our lives? Jesus, God. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you make, God forgives them all. He's our example. So one of the Bible verses that we're going to be talking about today is Peter goes to Jesus and he says, you know what? I got a buddy. He's done the same thing to me 7 times, and 7 times I forgave him. I'm kind of done with him. And does Jesus say, good on you, 7 times is great? Does he say that? No, Jesus says 70 times, 7 times, so that's like almost 500 times. How many of you can count to 500 and not forget how far you were? Like today I'm going to count to 7, and then tomorrow I'm going to count to 15, and then how many of you would be able to keep track of 500? Maybe. So I think the point of what Jesus said is we're not supposed to keep track. We're just supposed to keep forgiving, just like God keeps forgiving us. So that's our lesson for today. Don't be like the pencil eraser that, you know, there's not enough erasing for all the mistakes we make. Be like God and keep forgiving. Can we bow for prayer? Dear Jesus, we all make mistakes. Thank you for coming to erase those mistakes. Help us to forgive others the same way you forgive us, over and over and over again. Amen. And now you get to go back to your parents. Thanks.
Please take your hymnals, your blue hymnals, and turn to number 69, The Lord is King. Stand if you're able, and we will sing verse 1 and 2 in German and verse 3 and 4 in English.
Thank you.
So now we'll go into what our church. Are we on? Okay. It's not so loud up here this time. That's good. Some of the announcements about what is going on in our church in this next week or so. Number 6, Kids Club. It's starting on September 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And this is for both boys and girls, grade 1 to 6. The Willing Helpers are starting on Monday at 7 p.m. Sunday School is starting next Sunday. And they're still in need of teachers. And if you have any questions or would like to volunteer, please contact Shauna Zacharias. 2 more choir rehearsals before Thanksgiving. And they're listed in the bulletin. Next Sunday is kind of a small workshop for those who want to do worship lead or who are worship leading. It's going to be short. It's going to follow the service and it'll go no later than 2 p.m. So, and lunch is provided. If you have any questions or want to join, talk to Alfreda Gertz, Elizabeth Franz, Workentine, Tim Wagner, Chris Titterton, Janet Peters, Kathy Remillard, or Gary Martins. The next one is a prayer shawl and a quilt ministry. This is for Pastor Gary. The squares and markers will also be available in the church foyer for another Sunday. If you have any questions, please contact Kim Zacharias. Are there any other announcements that affect our church in the next week or so? We have one at the very back. Have we got a mic?
Good morning. I wanted to make an announcement about Music Sunday. Last week, I invited everyone to join us on October 23rd. Oops, it's actually October 16th. So anybody that's interested and would like to share their talent, please contact Jeff. He's in charge of Musical Sunday. And on another note, I wanted to share with you that... Oops, I didn't want to get sad, but I wanted to let you know that my cousin Anne, Maria Thiessen's daughter, passed away early Saturday morning. And we don't know when the funeral will be, but thank you all for your thoughts and prayers and wishes.
Thank you, Kathy, for starting the sharing. It's a nice segue into the next part of it. Is there anybody out there who has anything to share with the congregation? Gary, up front here.
Hello, it's Veronica Dick over here. Some of you have already noticed that Jacob is sporting some cool new accessories. We found out about 3-4 weeks ago that he has permanent hearing loss in both of his ears. At first, I was devastated, I won't lie, but he got his hearing aids on Thursday, and it has made such a huge difference. He does not want to take them off. We're very, very thankful for it. Right now, we're not sure if it's progressive yet. It's kind of a wait-and-see thing. It's looking genetic, so Emily is being tested, but so far she's good. We've got lots of appointments coming up in the near future with children's ENT to do some scans and some blood work. And we'll just take it from there. So that's kind of what's been going on in our lives lately.
Thank you.
So I just want to make an announcement about Bethania again. The spiritual care fundraising dinner will be on Monday at the Douglas Church, Monday, September the 26th. And if you haven't got a table or if you haven't called into Bethania, please give them or myself a call. And on a personal note, my son in New Zealand has pneumonia now, and the surgery that was supposed to happen 3 times already has been canceled. And I am flying there for the end of October for the hernia surgery. And I will be gone again for 3 months, and honestly, it's I don't relish being away again over Christmas, but my little grandson in New Zealand is over the moon that Oma is finally coming back again, and my son needs me, so that's where I'm going to be.
Thanks, Lainey. If not, we have in our bulletin, we have a few people that would like prayer requests and thoughts. Dorothy Penner is asking for prayer support for Ella Bickert and her family. Ella's been in Concordia Hospital since September 9th, and tests are currently being done at this time to determine the illness. Melanie Swatsky and Deborah Weeb are asking for your prayers for their father, Edmund Weeb. Edmund was involved in an automobile accident around Steinbach on September 12th. He is in stable condition, but was transferred to Health Sciences Center and is currently undergoing tests for head and neck injuries. Please keep the family in your prayers and doctors assess and treat his injuries and to begin his road to recovery. We continue to pray for Heinrich Fust, Peter Hirschfeld, Kim Hoban, Gary Martins, and Heidi Wiens. Vic and Betty Lowen would like to say thank you for all the cards and well wishes sent to them on their 50th wedding anniversary. They also appreciate very much. And not everyone is granted 50 years of life together, and they are grateful. And also to, again, Franz, welcome to our congregation. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Lord, in this time of celebrations and also in this time of sufferings, we pray for Jacob Dick, for his hearing. We pray for Susan Buller, who is in Concordia Hospital, Ella Bickert, Edmund Weeb, and Jacob Dick, who is also in the St. Boniface Hospital. We also pray for those in the personal care homes as they continue their sufferings or their lives in that facility. I would ask you now to turn to the back of your bulletin and read with me the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me plant love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not seek as to comfort, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Now we will have the offering. Thank you.
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
After the scripture reading, Gary will come up and introduce our guest speaker. This isn't a very long reading, but it is very, very potent and very, very down to earth. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times can my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? Seven times? No, not seven times, answered Jesus, but 70 times seven.
Still catching my breath from that last song. Amazing. Before I introduce the speaker, I just would also like to add my voice in welcoming you here, Franz. I've appreciated the visits we've had together. I appreciate your gentleness and your kindness and your willingness to work with us. And most of all, I appreciate your love for the church, for this church. And we know that God is going to work through you to lead us as time comes. And also, it's always nice to have somebody to look up to. John, would you come and join me, please? John and I have known each other for 10, 12 years, something like that. They came to Steinbeck Mennonite where I was pastor, and we got to know each other, but as things went, we were both busy. And about 5 years ago, we started drinking coffee together.
And fishing.
And fishing, that's right. We did a little fishing together. And before you judge, Jesus was a fisherman. John and I sit down and we talk about everything from what's going on in our families to a little bit of politics. And a lot of our discussion happens about what's going on in the church and where God is leading us. John and I share educational background. We both attended CMBC and AMBS. John has a very keen interest, as you note in your bulletin, in restorative justice. So we got to talking about, we were going to spend a couple of weeks talking about healing this Sunday and next. And the more we talked, the more it seemed like the emphasis that you have, John, in restorative justice and forgiveness would fit in really well. So we're looking forward to you sharing with us, and thank you for being here. Blessings on you as you speak.
Well, thank you, Gary, for these truly kind words of introduction. I've appreciated Gary's friendship very much over the last few years. And there are still a few topics and issues we haven't chatted about, Gary, so I'm sure we will do that in the future. Eileen and I are truly delighted to be here as well at North Caledonian Mennonite Church. My very first visit here was back when I was a student at CMBC, and my roommate Ernie Weeb, as a young student, had his first sermon in this pulpit. And that's a few years ago. Our assignment this morning is to consider God's wonderful gift of forgiveness that can lead to healing in the face of everyday slights, but even in situations of greater harm, and perhaps even in times of when incredible pain and loss may have been inflicted upon us. Can we forgive? And if so, how? And so to help us to grapple with these questions, I'll be sharing some stories. I'll be sharing some real-life forgiveness stories. And, of course, the forgiveness theme is so huge, we'll probably only scratch the surface of this theme today. As already mentioned in the children's story, God's forgiveness is massive when God forgives people. From Psalm 102, verse 12, "So far as east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us." From Isaiah 1:18, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." These incredible promises and these passages from the Old Testament also echo passages from the New Testament, particularly the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, where the father forgives and extends overwhelming grace to his erring son. But the parable ends with the older son being unable to, perhaps unwilling to, forgive his younger brother the pain that he has caused the family. And so the parable is not only about the loving grace of God and the fallibility of the younger son, but the older son reminds us of us. It reminds me of me, about my struggle to have a forgiving attitude. A few years before he passed away, Lewis Smees, who for 25 years lectured on ethics and theology at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, published a book entitled The Art of Forgiving, When You Need to Forgive and You Don't Know How. In chapter 3 of this book, he shares the following story. A seriously religious woman was being urged to forgive her former husband after 10 years of bruising violence that she had experienced from him. The elders of the church, male to a man, were pushing on her conscience. "As a Christian woman," they said, "you have a duty to forgive him." "But I cannot forgive him. Not yet, maybe never," she said. "Well, the Apostle Paul says, God helps us to do a Christian thing." She responded with, "Well, the Apostle Paul was never punched in the mouth with a Christian fist." "But it's your duty to take him back." "Is it my duty to be beaten?" she asked. "If that's forgiveness, you can keep it," and the discussion was over. Now, if we look at this dialogue, the woman knew that when the elders told her it was her duty to forgive her husband, what they really meant was that it was her duty to go back and live with him. And when she said she could not forgive him, she really meant that she could not live with him. And so by turning forgiveness into an obligation to go back to the same abuse, she really was robbed of a chance to heal her wounds that still scarred her memory. This story also highlights, it appears, some misconceptions and misunderstandings about forgiveness that make it sometimes virtually impossible to forgive and to heal. Forgiving may lead to a restoration of relationship, but not necessarily. Whether the relationship is healed pretty much also depends upon the forgiven person, the perpetrator. And so forgiveness is not always the same as reconciliation, although it could lead to reconciliation. Carol Hagen, in her book Sexual Abuse in Christian Homes, makes several observations about forgiveness that also highlight some misconceptions. She makes the point that to forgive does not mean to forget. Remembering is essential for forgiveness to be genuine, she says. She also makes the point that sometimes the desire to forget perhaps indicates the discomfort and the difficulty that people may have in dealing with the emotions of anger and bitterness. She also says that forgiving does not necessarily mean that trust is restored. Forgiving and restoring trust are two different processes. Restoring trust may take a long time, if ever. But it's a wonderful day when people offer forgiveness to people. Arnold Schneider is a retired professor who lectured on church history in 16th century Europe and Anabaptist studies. And during a lecture that he shared in Waterloo, he shared the following story of the Amish church of his youth in Waterloo County. And he said, and I quote him here, he said, two prominent men, both members of the congregation, were conspicuously in non-communication during the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Everyone knew that they were having serious disagreements. It appears that some business issues were involved. And the situation persisted for about a year. The disunion of these two prominent men was an event experienced by the entire community and made public by their continued mutual absence from the supper celebrations. But eventually they reconciled, and Snyder was not sure whether the elders had been involved, but at the next communion celebration, they came forward to participate. And Snyder got somewhat choked up here. He said, I recall they washed each other's feet, and they gave each other a holy kiss and celebrated the supper with the congregation. And there was open weeping in the church. It was a very emotional moment for the entire community, because in a very real way, unity and fellowship had been restored to that community and the body of Christ. Snyder concluded, he said, the Lord's Supper in the church of my youth was a high and holy event that visibly communicated not just high moral purpose, but a real incarnated accountability among the members of a concrete and visible body of Christ. End of quote. Now, we don't know what happened behind the scenes on this one. The circle of forgiveness is not complete until forgiveness is offered and accepted. And sometimes the injured persons or persons find it pretty hard to let go, sometimes almost impossible. But needless to say, either one of them or both of them ask for forgiveness. It was accepted, and the circle of forgiveness was complete. And so forgiveness, it appears, can be very simple and straightforward. But when the cut is deep, or even the crime horrific, forgiveness can happen, but usually it involves a long and complex journey. The following story comes from Amish Grace, How Forgiveness Transcended Tragedy, co-authored by Don Crable, Stephen Nolte, and David Weaver Zurcher, and I'm sure that many of you have read this book. I'll just highlight a few items to begin with. On October 2, 2006, that's 10 years ago, Charles Roberts carried his guns into a small Amish schoolhouse near the quaint community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. And in his rage before taking his own life, he gunned down 10 young Amish schoolgirls. Five of them died that day. Four eventually recovered, and the tenth one, the last one, will be disabled for the rest of her life. The world was shocked, not only by the event, but also that the Amish community offered immediate forgiveness. How could this be? Lewis Smees, who agrees with the English poet John Dryden, when Dryden offers the elegant line that forgiveness to the injured does belong, would have questioned the fact that the Amish community offered forgiveness. His point would be that only the parents of the girls could possibly forgive such a crime. But the Amish community, who repeat the Lord's Prayer at every service, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us, understood that the entire Amish community was injured, and that members, therefore, were qualified forgivers. Besides, The parents in the days immediately after the shooting were far too involved in grieving their loss and looking after their wounded daughters. Needless to say, the media flocked to Nickel Mines. On 5:30 a.m. Wednesday morning, less than 24 hours after the shooting, the sleepless father of 8-year-old Mary Liz and 7-year-old Lena, both of whom perished, was walking to the schoolhouse. Suddenly, TV cameras caught him in the glare of floodlights. And out of the darkness, he heard a voice, "Do you have any resentment toward the gunman's family?" the news anchor asked. "No," he answered. "Have you already forgiven them?" "In my heart, yes." "Well, how is that possible?" "Through God's help," he said. A newspaper columnist in one of the thousands of articles that were written around the world made the point, modern society's sophisticates sneer at the Amish for their backward ways, but the extension of forgiveness at Nickel Mines demonstrates that they may be far more advanced than the rest of us. Not all reports were so favorable. Jeff Jacoby of the Boston Globe, although he was deeply affected to watch the Amish strive to follow Jesus' admonition to return good for evil, asked the question, how many of us really want to live in a society in which no one gets angry when children are slaughtered? Well, the fact is, in later interviews, many Amish did admit that they were angry at the time. But for the Amish, anger is a dangerous emotion, something that they try to very carefully control. Jacoby's article raises another misconception about forgiveness, namely that when we forgive an offense that really cuts deep, we somehow make that offense okay. The Amish didn't believe for a minute that forgiving this intolerable act in some way made it more tolerable. Not at all. They simply forgave. The act will always remain a crime. Mary, an Amish woman, said, "You know, when we are tried and tested, forgiveness is something that is easier said than done." A retired Amish farmer noted, "We have to battle with it," he said. "We really have to fight the tendency not to forgive." Both Mary and that retired Amish farmer drew attention to the fact that when a person experiences, or persons, what they experience at Nickel Mines, there's a tendency that we struggle from a memory that we didn't deserve, but we can't change. But as they worked at forgiveness, their hearts and spirits started to heal again and to embrace life again, which the Amish called the new normal. An Amish mother whose daughter died in the shooting also acknowledged that forgiveness is an ongoing struggle. She noted that forgiveness stretches over time, but you have to start out with the will to forgive. But the bitterness may re-enter your mind from time to time, and then you have to think about forgiving again. I believe she brought to profound meaning the words of Jesus that were read this morning, that at times we need to forgive 70 times 7. We need to forgive as long as it takes. Forgiveness can come about, but usually only after a long and complex journey. But the nice thing is, notes Lewis Smeads, that we're being healed along the way. In this case, the circle of forgiveness was not complete. Charles Roberts was dead. He took his own life. A fact that the Amish admitted perhaps made it a bit easier to forgive. But even if he had not taken his life, I'm sure they still would have worked very hard to have a forgiving attitude, because the Amish knew that this was the only way for them as individuals and as a community to heal. Winnipeg has its own story in this regard. Over 30 years ago, Cliff and Wilma Dirksen also struggled to forgive a person who had caused them great pain and loss in the kidnapping and murder of their daughter Candace. And in this case, the man responsible was still living. Eventually, Wilma wrote an article entitled "Forgiveness is a Road to Healing," where she gives guidance for a forgiving attitude, and I will share a number of these points. She says, first of all, know the offense and name it, and get the story right on the wrongs committed. She also says, if an offense is to be forgiven, it must be stopped. The deacons in our very first story probably failed to work at stopping the offense. She also says, let words and emotions flow in the healing process and ensure a climate of safety and trust for forgiveness. Recognize the importance of an apology. And this is amazing coming from her. She says, do not become grounded by difficult experiences. Life is too short to hold a grudge. And so choose to put the matter behind you and move forward. And finally, she notes, receive forgiveness not as a human achievement, but as a gift received from God. These wonderful people, these Amish and the Dirksons, who worked at forgiving in these circumstances, have much to teach us. But in closing, I want to share a much lighter story, one that is probably much closer to and more that we have common with in our own everyday experience. During the years when I was a pastor, a woman came to my office and she said, I can no longer go to communion. And I asked her why, and then she responded that she had been deeply insulted and disgraced by an elder gentleman in the congregation. Now, he had not touched her, and the wound was not that major, but there was a bruise, it was a cut, and she was angry, and in my mind, rightfully so. I asked her if she had chatted with him in the spirit of Matthew 18, you know, where it says, if a member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when you were alone, and she indicated she simply couldn't do that, and she requested that I talk to this man on her behalf. And so I called him and shared her story, that his behavior had deeply insulted and disgraced her, and I left it at that. A week later, she came to my office, and she was smiling, and she indicated that he had contacted her, and the two of them had talked. She started the conversation by blaming him for his hurtful behavior. In the final end, we forgive the people we blame. The man in this incident, when he heard the woman's complaint, accepted her feelings as true, and that her judgment was right. He acknowledged and confessed his responsibility for the injury he had caused, and he asked for forgiveness. She forgave him, and he accepted. Well, the next time the congregation was gathered around the bread and the wine, they were both there, and there was a lightness in their step and a sweet fragrance of a restoration of a relationship in the church, the body of Christ. Here, too, the circle of forgiveness was complete, and that forgiveness was offered and accepted. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, we are encouraged that we love one another with a tender heart. And so, in closing, you know, may we also in our lives, whatever the situation or circumstance, work at forgiveness. And as we do, may we open our hearts to that incredible healing that can come from God as an incredible gift, as we too, if need be, forgive 70 times 7. May the Lord help us to this end.
As our response to the sermon, please take out your insert and let's sing, Jesus Help Us Live in Peace. We'll sing, I don't have the insert here. We'll sing the first, sing it all the way through and then repeat the chorus at the end.
It's so hard to
Shall we rise for the benediction and the closing song? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 434, 434, Tuma Mina. Janet will be our designated leader today.
Tuma Mina, Tuma Mina.